This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Oh, a three-point wedgie!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Why don't we ascribe to the Nuggets what we ascribe to defending champs? I don't see many people today saying, well, that's a heart of a champion.
The Rich Eisen Show.
We've got to stop handling the NBA playoffs like it's an NFL season.
Today's guests, Prime Video NASCAR announcer Dale Earnhardt Jr., actor, comedian, and author Paul Scheer, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero, and now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. We are live on the Roku channel. This Rich Eisen Show, terrestrial radio affiliate, Sirius XM Odyssey. And, of course, everybody listening on a podcast saying, wait a minute, you're live? No. you listen to us whenever you want.
Whenever you feel.
Okay, and the same thing when you're watching some of our clips on YouTube or the Rich Eisen Show collection page, which is a fancy way of saying video on demand service, part of our Roku relationship. And Roku. We are thrilled to be here. By the way, Roku is free on every Roku device known to man. It's also on select Samsung smart TVs, also on Amazon Fire TV, Google TV. We're also available on the Roku app, which is free. The Roku channel's free on it. The Roku channel.com also free if you're using the internet tubes. Lots to talk about, a lot of football going on. If the Mavericks made a free throw in game four, they might be up 3-1 just like the Boston Celtics, but they are not. Every series is not at a 2-2. We're going to have one decisive potential decisive game five. That one will be in Boston later on this week. And then there's three pivotal game fives, two of them tonight. One of them in Madison Square Garden, one of them in Denver, Colorado. So much to discuss again on this program. 844-204-RICH. Number to dial. The schedule gets released writ large in the National Football League. I'll be hosting the NFL Network schedule release show at 8 Eastern Time. That's tomorrow night. We're thrilled. Dale Earnhardt Jr. is going to be first up in 18 minutes time. Paul Scheer, a fellow Clipper fan, TJ Jefferson, in studio hour number two. Tom Pelissero will join us as Jared Goff struck it rich yesterday for the Detroit Lions. Kind of interesting. Brad Holmes was on the program, general manager of the Lions, and I asked him his theory on signing people earlier than later, and he kind of danced around the subject, had no idea that he was signing Jared Goff on the dotted line, perhaps as soon as he hung up on the Zoom from us. Timing's everything in life. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman. What's going on,
Rich,
sir?
Rich, man, stressful watching the C's last night, but they did it.
Okay, whatever. Just hold your breath, sit back, and one of their opponents will eventually get hurt anyway, clearing the path for you. Don't worry about it. It's all good. How are you,
Mike
Del Tufo?
Good morning.
See
how you doing?
TJ Jefferson, good to see you over there.
It's good to be seen.
Candles
What's
lit,
up,
everybody.
Fellas? How you guys
All right,
doing?
We start this show. We start this show on this day, on September 8th, 2005.
On this day?
That's the date I choose to start this show on.
2005.
September 8th, 2005. You were a happy camper that day, Chris Brockman.
What was I doing back
Because
then?
For the second straight year, the New England Patriots were opening up a season off of a Super Bowl win.
Those were great days, DJ.
Let me tell you this.
Good old days.
It was also the first 2 years the NFL started the tradition of opening up a season on a Thursday night in the home of the defending Super Bowl champs in front of their fans as they raise a banner. Second straight year they had done it.
Love it.
And it was the second straight year they were in Gillette. Bob Kraft, look at him, looking all Richard Dawson from The Running Man.
I thought that was Sinatra
at
first.
Nah,
I know, it did look like Frank Sinatra.
Raising another banner. There it is.
We are all Patriots.
And guess who was there? Ozzy Osbourne was singing Crazy Train and Everything.
Damn it.
That's what's going on there.
Yes, sir.
Oh, look at that. Who was in the house also but the Oakland Raiders?
Our boy
Sapp was there.
Wow.
Okay.
Randy Moss was probably there, right?
He was indeed. The Patriots had to overcome a 73-yard touchdown strike from Kerry Collins to Randy Moss. But Tom Brady and the Patriots did their business and won 30-20 kicking off that night against the Oakland Raiders. Keep that in mind.
The Raiders.
Then the next week, September 18th, 2005, after a long respite.
Love it.
Patriots went on the road. And the league decided to give the Patriots and everybody else a rematch of the Super Bowl 2 years before, the first of two in a row for the Patriots. New England had to go to Carolina.
Hey.
They took on the Carolina Panthers, and Stephen Davis had a three-touchdown day. There he is. By the way, also on this day, He Hate Me had four kickoff returns for over 100 combined yards. Yeah, that's what we're talking about. Rod Smart.
Rod Smart.
He Hate Me.
XFL.
He Hate Me was there. But Chris, you hated Stephen Davis because his three touchdown runs overcame a late Jake Delhomme pick six thrown to Mike Vrabel.
Oh, baby. All he does is catch touchdowns.
And the Carolina Panthers beat the Patriots on that day.
Dang it.
And they started 1-1 in their three-peat attempt, which has never been done. And they wound up losing in the divisional playoffs to Denver and Jake Delhomme.
Jake Plummer fumbled through the end zone.
Well, it's kind of wild that when you look up the box score and you see one interception for 100 yards and no touchdowns. But at any rate.
Sorry. Still bitter about that.
The Denver Broncos with Jake Plummer. So Jake Delhomme beat the Patriots for the first time in that season, and Jake Plummer beat them for the final time. And thus, to this day, no three-peat. Why am I bringing all this up? Because we have, for the first time in 20 years, since that season, 20 seasons, 19 years, whatever you want to call it, first time in two decades, an attempt at a three-peat. The last time, as we just reviewed, Patriots opened the season against the Oakland Raiders. Norv Turner brought in his Raiders after a 5-11 season into New England. And then the Patriots were told, you're going on the road in week two to take on the Panthers. Yes, there's a history that was between those two teams, very recent at that time. 7-9, though, the Panthers were the year before. And it's either different times or somebody went in the schedule makers' cornflakes because the schedule makers decided a three-peat attempt this time around. They're not going to put the 5-11 team in Arrowhead to start the season, and they certainly weren't going to back it up with a 7-9 team after that. We have found out over the last 24 hours.
Boom.
As we found out yesterday, NBC proudly announcing the season will begin on Thursday, September 5th with the Ravens at the Chiefs. And just on this very day on CBS this morning, CBS announced their first major telecast of the season, week two, late window, CBS. Jim Nantz, who will join us on Thursday's show, fresh off of the schedule release, and Tony Romo in Arrowhead.
Tony?
Joe Burrow and the Bengals will be visiting.
Hello.
So, the NFL, with another three-peat attempt this time around, says we are going to continue the tradition of you raising the banner in front of your home folks, but the visitor will not be a 5-11 team from last year. It will be the team you had to beat in their building, a rematch of the AFC Championship game, just like that. And then, after a nice mini bye, short respite, in comes the team, the only quarterback in the NFL today to have beaten the Kansas City Chiefs in Arrowhead, in the playoffs, in Patrick Mahomes' tenure, in this dynastic run. Joe Burrow, fresh off of his injury marred season, and the Bengals visiting Kansas City, as clearly the NFL has decided that they are not going to make a three-peat an easy start for the Kansas City Chiefs. Now then, you could say they had to play him anyway, and that's the pushback on this whole schedule release thing, is we already knew that the Ravens and Cincinnati were going to visit Arrowhead. They have to play them anyway. They're going to play them anyway. But this is my pushback to all those trolling the schedule release show, is now that you know it starts back-to-back weeks, to start the season. Now it's a totally different story, isn't it? Could have been Ravens week 4, Bengals week 12, with a couple other games mixed in. No, it's week 1, week 2, just like that. And the question is, as you look at their opponents, we had this already built because we were wondering, who are they going to start with? They're certainly not going to choose another home date. It's not going to be 3 in a row. Who are they going to visit on the road the week after? I mean, take a look at the options here.
Division game at Denver.
A division game would be wild. Out of division opponents, the Steelers, the Bills, the Falcons, they have to go visit them.
Well, they'll do Browns. At Carolina, give them a win. We can't have the defending champs 0-3.
But Carolina is, I you'd have to think, right, like what is the so-called easiest opponent for them?
Well, Carolina for sure.
Is 100%. And if it's not Carolina, holy smokes. That is a very rough schedule start for the defending Super Bowl champs, and you'd have to sit here and say, well, hey, listen, you have won back-to-back Super Bowls. You know, it's not going to be easy. You're going to have the target on your back anyway. I guess if you had told the Chiefs earlier this week, hey, you start the first two games of your season at home, you'd be like, okay, great. Oh, it's against the Ravens and the Bengals. Oh, well, say what?
Come again?
And then who's going to be next at home for them? Now then, we can now remove the Ravens and the Bengals from their options, and we have done so for our radio audience on the screen. The only way we could mark off these games is with a face of Taylor Swift on them.
I would say that's the only way we could.
Oh, kidding me? Of course. As a matter of fact, we might just, you know, real time it, because tomorrow maybe another Chiefs game gets announced before the schedule gets released.
That's funny.
So who's next? I mean, option is you got the three division opponents.
Yeah, they have 9 road games, so I would imagine back to back road games.
I don't know about that, pal.
Well, you've already knocked off 2, so now suddenly you're 9-7 with games left. So.
Sir, this is wild. And again, is what now when you start ordering them together, you begin to see the gauntlet you have to run. So you want to give them another road game? Is it against Cleveland, who Dallas is starting the season with at home? We found out that yesterday from Fox. Could it be? What are you going to throw San Francisco in that mix? Or are you going to put a division game?
How about this? At Buffalo week 3, Bills coming off the mini bye because they're the Thursday night. Week 2 opener.
That just got announced by Amazon.
Just got announced.
What is it?
Chiefs start 0-3. It's Dolphins at Bills. Bills at Dolphins week 2.
So, Chris, can I ask you a question?
So it's Bills at Dolphins.
At Dolphins. Week 2, Thursday night kickoff.
Okay.
Why are you doing this to yourself? They're coming for you, bro. I can already hear. You're putting them 0-3. Well, I can hear them on Twitter.
0-3. Bills, Chiefs 0-3.
They're coming for them, Rich.
Well, I first of all.
Just warming up for next week.
First of all.
You're finished. You're done.
First of all, the Chiefs are still the back-to-back Super Bowl champs. And I'm just pointing out the way the league started the season of the last team that was attempting a three-peat. What they're doing this time around. And I know, Chris, we're marking off the L's, okay? But clearly you're doing that just to have a little bit of fun.
Yeah,
but the point is, it's entirely possible they do start 0-2, split it. That's a rough start. It's a very rough start. And the last thing that we need to do and look up the New Eras Tour. Where is she? September 8th September 5th. September 5th. And then let's do the math.
2024 concert date.
September 5th and then the 15th.
I was literally just looking up
Childish
Gambino. He's on a new world.
Where's she gonna be?
October, not till October.
Oh, okay. There we go. October. So let's go.
In the States. She's overseas.
Let's go.
Right now.
Oh, I know that because my oldest son is checking out
all
the bootleg stuff on YouTube.
Oh, nice. Bunch of July dates in Italy.
He's warning me. He goes, you know, somebody, she kicked someone off Twitch, Dad. I'm telling you, this is crazy. He's playing some song and he's like, Dad, this is about Travis Kelce. She feels like she's back in high school. I'm telling you, man.
So her last international date is August 20th at Wembley, and then she's off for a little bit, and then October 18th, Miami.
Oh, so back in the this is great. We're going to have another season. Yeah. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be great. We're finding out how the league is just serving up the filet mignon for all of their partners and for all the fans right out of the gate. Bills and Dolphins is another one. And then we found out the Monday night, first Monday nighter, is Jets at 49ers. I can't wait to unpack that one later on. Football, baby.
Football.
Right in the middle of May, which is why they released the schedule this way. We're all talking about it. And so are you, trolls, who don't like to give the flowers to the schedule release show that the schedule release show deserves.
Mission critical.
Because I'm sitting there for three. Damn straight,
it's mission critical.
And I'm a mission critical employee. MC. I'm an MCE tomorrow night for NFL Network. I signed the NDA to be an MCE for NFLN, and you better be there.
Yeah.
Woo! I know exactly when I'm getting the schedule down to a minute.
Oh, right. I like Rich Eisen. I find him accessible.
Thank you.
When are you getting it?
I'm not telling you because I don't need your pressure because there's certain things I'm not allowed to do, and I'm not going to do it.
Can't tell us.
Can you leave it at the desk and walk away?
Wait a minute. That doesn't.
That's not in the bullet point in the NDA. Yeah. I think I can do that.
That's one thing you did not mention yesterday.
Just leave it out and just go to the bathroom
but you know
or something,
what?
Get some coffee.
That is not the way to show leadership to everybody here in this room.
It is, actually.
Who I consider mission critical employees to the Rich Eisen Show. You're MCEs for the RES, sir.
Thank you.
Okay. And so I'm trying to show leadership. I'm trying to show leadership and what it's like to be and look like a mission critical employee. Wow. Honestly, we're treating this like it's a friggin' SpaceX launch. Well, I hope not.
Rich, if we look at mission critical employee,
Roman Roy on the computer just monitoring the rocket? Right.
Boom! That's another version of boom, indeed. Yes. Okay.
The definition.
Okay.
Okay.
Dale Earnhardt Jr. Dale Jr. is going to join us next. Speaking of Amazon, speaking of Prime Video, he's part of the NASCAR Cup Series coverage exclusive in 2025 for the streamer, which you can see right here on Roku. Paul Scheer in studio. I've got his book right here, Joyful Recollections of Trauma. Great name. I like it. Tom Pelissero and his pomade will be on the Zoom to talk about what's going on with Jared Goff now in the $50 million a year quarterback club. That's all teed up. 844-204-RICH. Number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. Dale Jr. when we come back. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O-O-O, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number smart bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Just to finish up the thought about, again, that the Chiefs are getting the Ravens and the Bengals back-to-back to start their first attempt at a three-peat the NFL's seen in 20 years. And New England, the last team to attempt a three-peat, started against a 5-11 and a 7-9 team. The 7-9 team had a little bit of history, clearly, with the Patriots, because it was the Panthers who the Patriots beat for the first of their two back-to-back Super Bowls. The options the league could have put in the stadium the first night to open up was Peyton Manning and the Colts. Didn't do that. Could have been Philly Riv and the Chargers, who went 12-4 the year before.
Right.
Didn't do that. That was week four for them. And they lost that game.
Yep.
Could have been Steelers, which is always, you know, with Cowher, they were just coming off of a 15-1 season the year before.
Patriots, you know, also started 4-6 on the road that year.
Yeah. I mean, so the I guess the league did that, right? Yeah.
But I mean, the storylines were there. You know, Raiders, Tuck Rule rematch, Panthers, Super Bowl rematch. But
they're 5-11. They're 5-11 the year before.
But I think year to year, I don't think really matters in the NFL.
Yeah, it does.
In what way? I mean,
they weren't putting, if there was an option to put a 5-11 team in the building, the league's never going to do that again.
But Joe Burrow played half the year last year, and he's coming off an injury.
But we all know that that's.
I don't know that.
So it's week two. You don't think that Burrow and the Bengals are going to be appreciably better, like back to being Joe Burrow and the Bengals?
I don't know what that means, though, because I guess.
Well, you were already saying they were 0-2.
But I think I'm just kind of doing a bit. I mean, the Bengals are, I don't know, man. That Super Bowl year might have been a fluke.
Well, you go like that caller who called him a Lynn Sanity type run yesterday?
He's not entirely wrong.
Oh, my gosh. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. A greenlit four-part documentary on Dale Earnhardt Sr. That's just happened for Prime Video. And a big-time season for Prime Video in the broadcast booth, because Dale Earnhardt Jr. is going to help them launch the streamer exclusive NASCAR Cup Series coverage in 2025. The two-time Daytona 500 champion and NASCAR Hall of Famer Dale Earnhardt Jr. joins us here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Dale?
Oh, we're doing great. Hanging out in New York, doing some upfronts. And,
okay.
Enjoying the town and talking about NASCAR and Amazon and all the great things coming down the pike.
All right. Explain to me the Amazon upfront. Al Michaels there, right? Bezos is there? Is Bezos there? Who else is there?
Yeah, no. I haven't seen one of them.
You haven't?
No. Fitzpatrick was here. Yeah, that was cool. I got to see... Reese Witherspoon was here. That
okay.
was really nice.
Okay.
Yeah, seeing her. So it's been a big surprise, but trying to promote our partnership with NASCAR that you mentioned.
Okay.
Will Ferrell was here, which I got to work with him a little bit, just for a little tiny quick moment during the Talladega Nights movie.
Yeah.
Right. And so that was cool to talk to him. Yeah.
Oh, okay, so Will Ferrell was there. Reese Witherspoon's there. I can't believe Al's not there.
Yeah.
Al, he's going to show. He must be around there somewhere.
No, I didn't see, he might be. I didn't see, but one of the cool things that I got to share with Will Ferrell was, so he made Talladega Nights, and all of us in NASCAR were very, very excited about that.
Yeah.
And they came to me and said, do you want to watch the full movie for the first time? It's not quite released yet, but you can see it. And we were in Sonoma, California for the race that weekend. And I said, yeah, I want to see it. Where do we go see this early run of the movie? And they took us to Skywalker Ranch, which was great, right? We're at Skywalker Ranch walking around, George Lucas, all that cool stuff. We sit down to watch it in one of those little film rooms, and George Lucas walks in, sits down, and watches the whole movie.
So,
and Will Ferrell said, well, did he laugh? I said, yeah, he laughed. We all laughed. It was a great movie.
Okay, so... You're saying you saw a screening of Talladega Nights.
Yes.
The Ballad of Ricky Bobby for the first time on Skywalker Ranch. And George Lucas was in the screening room with you.
He was in there sitting right behind me.
Okay. Wow. Any popcorn? Any red vines? What do we got here?
I think you could have had anything you wanted. We were just thrilled to be able to see the movie, but not knowing we were going to be watching it with Mr. Lucas.
I was about to say, like, did you pop open like an R2-D2 and grab some Skittles from inside or something like that? Like, what's that like, man? Come on.
No, but I would tell you, like, here we are. I mean, it took me 15 years to be able to go tell Will the story. And
hadn't told him that?
No, I told him today, like at this upfront.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is his question to you. Did he laugh?
Yes. Yeah. He was glad that he laughed.
That is amazing. Dale Earnhardt Jr. here on the Rich Eisen Show. Where's your Hall of Fame jacket? I would wear that all the time. Where is that right now?
I just saw it the other day. I was packing for this trip. It's in my closet. Got one of those like neat little plastic cover things over the shoulders that you have to have for all your sports coats.
Okay.
It's in good shape.
Oh man, I was hoping like you'd stand up like I'm wearing it right now and you'd show me the crest right there.
Yeah, I should wear it every day.
I would. I'd sleep in it, man. Yeah. I would sleep in it. I haven't spoken to you in forever. What was that moment like for you, Dale, to get that?
Well, it was, I can't imagine. I mean, I'm thinking hard and I've seen my dad have an incredible career and watched lots of drivers have incredible careers in our sport and do amazing things. And I can't imagine anything being cooler than being inducted into the Hall of Fame of any type. It is basically the best way that you could be sure that you were an asset and that you were appreciated by that industry, in my case, NASCAR. So, we can be selfish and we can go out and perform and have success in our lives. But when you get told that you were an asset, you were critical to the success of an industry, I think that's what going into the Hall of Fame is kind of like, at least it was for me. So I was really thankful for that. I wanted to be a great race car driver, but also wanted to do the right things for the sport and help the sport and continue to help the sport today. So, that's kind of what motivates me to continue to broadcast and do anything around our sport. It's easy to get sometimes critical about the industry, but as a broadcaster and someone in journalism, I guess you have a role to be honest and transparent with your viewers. But I really enjoy trying to push the sport forward and trying to get more people to tune in and see what we're doing.
Well, in terms of that, the streaming world awaits. And that's why you are in New York for this new front for Amazon and Prime Video. And we're streaming right now on Roku, which people will be watching you do your work through the portal. And we're streaming on Odyssey. I mean, it's a streaming world right now, sir.
Yeah.
So this is a big step up. And so is, when the NBA tried an in-season tournament, very successful. NASCAR is going to attempt one, it appears. Yeah. And what's your thoughts on the in-season tournament idea, Dale?
All right, so the in-season tournament idea came from Denny Hamlin last year. We have Dirty Mo Media is a media company that I have. We do a lot of podcasts and original content. And Denny Hamlin, one of our current drivers and stars in NASCAR, has a show on our channel. And he came up with the Bracket Challenge last year. And so we created a bracket challenge in about 3 weeks for fans to fill out a bracket, much like you would do for March Madness. 200,000 people participated, and William Byron, one of our drivers, ended up winning the tournament. And it was just something fun that we did. Denny basically said, NASCAR, if you love this idea, you can have it. Take it. And I believe that's what's happened. So NASCAR is going to have their own official in-season tournament that really does remind me a lot of like March Madness and college basketball. And so there'll be 32 drivers going for a $1 million prize over 5 weeks. There'll be 3 seeding races, and that happens on the Amazon portion of the season. And so those 3 seeding races will seed the drivers for the 5-week run to $1 million, and it's all or nothing. There's not a second place prize, third place prize, none of that. So some driver is going to be really motivated to win that. And the question, I guess, for me is, what might they do unique strategy-wise in these races to guarantee that they win that prize? Right. They got to think differently, right, about how they run this race. So hopefully it makes them make some unique, fun choices that we get to talk about on the broadcast.
Because you're not just trying to win the race. You're trying to beat someone in the race.
One driver. So if you're one of the drivers, Rich, in the race, every race there'll be a driver that you must beat to continue to move forward in this bracket challenge, right? And obviously, ultimately, getting to the final race where it'll be one-on-one for $1 million.
Yeah. Okay. So there's two questions I have for you, Dale. If this happened when you were racing, who's the one driver you would want to have been matched up against in the final? Because you just wanted to beat that particular driver.
Oh, man.
For sure, Dale.
I think he can appreciate this. It would definitely be Kyle Busch. Me and Kyle had quite a rivalry going back in the day. And I have to admit, he's one of the best drivers that the sport's seen in the last 10, 20 years. So I think if you could be him or Jimmy Johnson, any of the great drivers from my time, my career in the sport, that would be very rewarding.
I bet. Okay, because that just would have given it a little special extra for you, is what you're saying, Dale.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you want to beat those guys, especially. I mean, you get rivalries out there on the racetrack, and every week, you're thinking about where's that guy on the racetrack? How's his day going? I hope I finish in front of him. So, man, if you could win $1 million, basically come down that last race, you and him one on one, and you take the money, and he gets nothing. Perfect.
Now, and plus, don't you think, this is my other question, don't you think we now have the perfect plot for a Talladega Nights sequel? Where it comes down to shake versus bake for the tournament. Dale, don't you think that would be amazing? Ricky versus Cal for $1 million on the line here. Don't you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think that would be pretty incredible. Hopefully, I'm biased, and I think that it will come down to something pretty spectacular. And then also think too, Rich, about how this could move forward. And not only could it become $1 million prize, but maybe it's a lock into the playoffs, an automatic, buy in the first round. It could be very lucrative toward the season ending goal of winning the ultimate championship. That would be really cool. And I think NASCAR would be open to that.
Wouldn't there be like also some sort of strategy where teammates could help the one who's trying to win the prize win?
Yeah, but I think I think after the race, though, they would demand a cut of the. Wouldn't think so.
Sort of like a caddy, for the Open Championship or something. You get a little cut, right?
If I was one of those drivers going for that $1 million, I'd have all kinds of alliances. I'd be doing everything I could to at least get some of that money in my pocket.
Dale Earnhardt Jr. here, a couple minutes left with the Hall of Famer. Again, check out the exclusive NASCAR Cup Series coverage on Prime Video in 2025 with Dale in the booth. So your two cents on the Commanders and their new quarterback, Dale, what do you think here with Jaden Daniels? Again, I know there's supposedly a competition happening here, but what's your two cents on what's going on with your team here?
Well, I think every offseason is an opportunity to sort of rebuild your hope and excitement. And man, has there been a lot of change in the organization, not only from the ownership side, but coaches and general managers and everything about this program for a fan of the Commanders is entirely new. And exciting. And there were a lot of free agency moves and signings throughout free agency that gave you the opinion that they felt like they saw how to improve this roster immediately. Mm-hmm. And so they're already sort of churning away at how do they make things better for the team. It's a process, and it's not going to happen overnight. And that if they had an 8-8 season, I wouldn't be shocked. But I would be happy with that because that would tell me we're moving in the right direction. Of course, you want to win enough games to get into the playoffs, but we've had a couple of tough years. I mean, it's been decades, right? 1991 was the last Super Bowl, and there's been a lot of things that have changed in organization over the last several decades that gave you hope. But I think this is the first time in a long time that I feel like there's a real chance that there's could be a new identity created, a new culture, obviously, and a whole new identity built around this team. And we'll have to see how it plays out.
Do you think they should change the name to something else to keep that identity rolling? Dale?
I think they should change it back to the football team. The Washington football team is a really cool name. Of course, when we anytime you change the name, and when they change the name to the football team, we all had the same reaction. Man, this is weird. This is odd. I don't like it. But actually, by the end of the first season as the football team, we were different. It was good. We liked it. I think most people wrapped their brains around it. We're like, I kind of like this. I don't really, you know, it set us apart in the whole NFL's industry with that type of a name. And I don't feel that way at the end of season one around the Commanders. You know, will I in a few years? Maybe it'll sort of become normal and feel normalized to me. But that Washington football team name was kind of cool. And you had a blank slate with jerseys and everything there. And that would be kind of neat, I think, to go back to.
So why did you become a fan of this franchise? Is it because it was in close proximity to your house, or, I mean, where you grew up, Dale? I mean, how'd you get hooked up with them?
Well, in the 80s, I became a fan in 81, 82. And the very first game I watched, they beat Miami in the Super Bowl. And just a fantastic game. Everybody remembers that epic run for Riggins down the sideline to score the touchdown. But there wasn't a team in North Carolina where I grew up. And my mother had moved to Norfolk after my father and her separated. She moved to Norfolk. So I'd go up to Chesapeake Bay and around that area. And there's Washington fans everywhere and the emblem. And so she was buying me jerseys and helmets as a kid. Every Christmas, I was expecting a new jersey or a helmet or shoulder pads, the whole kit. And I'd get all that stuff and play in the yard with my buddies. And I just was a fan ever since. So I'm too invested now to change. And no matter what they call the team, I'm going to be a fan from here on out.
You must have fanboyed Gibbs like crazy when he showed up on the circuit, right, Dale? Right?
Yes. I was talking about that like 15 minutes ago.
No kidding.
I remember where I was standing when I first saw him. It was like 1994 in Atlanta, Georgia, last race of the year. The race is over. Everybody's kind of meandering about trying to leave the racetrack, and I see him walking through the garage. I must have been, just 19, 20 years old, and I literally I was speechless. I couldn't even holler out his name. I was like, there he goes. I mean, this guy, as a fan of Washington, this guy was like royalty walking across the garage. I just could not believe that he was in our world.
Right.
I couldn't believe it. And, you know, then he would become an incredible owner in NASCAR and a championship winning owner. But that's the guy I remember right there. And when I saw him walking across that garage that day, I felt like a little boy, but I was a little bit older than that. Man, it was an incredible moment. It gives me chills just thinking about it.
I bet. Before I let you go, Dale, what do you want the four-part documentary that Prime Video just greenlit on your dad to achieve?
Yeah.
What do you want out of this?
One of the things that I worried about, Rich, when my dad passed away was how quickly people might forget his impact on the sport and who he was and his character. To me, obviously, I'm biased. He was larger than life, 10-foot tall and bulletproof. When he walked into a room, it changed the room, and you knew he was there. And I know that he had that impact on a lot of people. And so I hope that the documentary can sort of remind not only people of my generation how important he was to the sport, but maybe also some of our newer fans will learn why we talk about this guy all the time. Because I read about that in social media. There are a lot of new fans come in going, I never saw him race. Why do we talk about this guy all the time? Tell me why you feel the way you feel about Dale Earnhardt. So it's a great opportunity because there's, you know, it's almost 25 years since he passed away, and it's a great chance for us to sort of introduce his legacy and impact the sport to some new fans.
Well, I look forward to seeing that. Great chatting with you, Dale. It's been too long. Let me know when you're out here. I'd love to have you in studio, spend more time with you. Congrats on the gig with Amazon. I look forward to seeing everything. Thanks.
I appreciate you giving me a few minutes today, but good talking to you.
You got it. Enjoy the rest of the new front there in New York City. That's Dale Earnhardt Jr. Check out, again, the NASCAR Cup Series coverage on Prime Video coming up in 2025. Right here through the Roku portal on Prime Video. Great chat. Love chatting with him.
Awesome.
Good people.
Yeah, good people, man. For sure.
You know, it's funny. He remembers where he was the first time he sees Joe Gibbs.
Crazy.
And there's literally thousands upon thousands of people who share that same story about the first time they see Dale Jr. Yep. So that's actually really cool to see he feels that same way about something.
I remember the first time I met Joe Gibbs was at the Combine.
Yeah.
On NFL Total Access at the in our studio in one of the suites in the RCA Dome.
He had
set
come
up.
Back to coach, right?
He had been he had come back to coach. And he showed up and he sat down and I interviewed him on live TV with Jim Mora Sr. It was Joe Gibbs, Jim Mora Sr., and me. And I'm like, I kind of wanted to let Sr. take the wheel here and see how that conversation would go. And it began to flag a little bit until Joe Gibbs looked at me and says, "Did I see you running a 40-yard dash on the air last night?" And I'm like, "Oh my God, what am I going to do with this one?"
Yes, sir.
And I'm like, "Yes, I did." And he told a story about how back in the day, you know, in training camp, fans would be there and they would get bored and pull like somebody out of the stands just to run a 40-yard dash with the team.
Oh, yeah.
And one guy had a suit and a tie on and he found it so funny and he now saw me running in a suit and tie. And, you know, and then I think, if I'm not mistaken, made a little bit of fun at my expense with my speed because it was 6.77. Oh, my God.
So that was your first year then?
That was the first year, 2005. That's the first time I met Joe Gibbs.
Wow.
And he made me speechless because he asked me about my 40-yard dash.
That's funny.
We'll take a break. 844-204-RICH. Number to dial. Hey, everybody. Make your free throws. Ugh. All you kids out there, make your free throws. That, as well as the rest of the NBA playoffs, we'll hit that when we come back. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN. Let's talk Game Time. Boy, do we love using Game Time tickets at the Rich Eisen Show. And every single time I've been watching the basketball playoffs on TV, I've been wondering what it would be like to be at these games. And when you choose your tickets on Game Time, you can see the view from your seat, where the court is, where you are in relation to it. And then the all-in prices, that's my favorite feature. The all-in prices makes sure that you see the lowest price guarantee and also know exactly how much everything costs all in before you purchase. So all the guesswork is removed when you buy playoff tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Taking a 747 and driving it into a building. Did you really do that? That actually happened?
Yes, we did. We really did it. We looked at doing it with miniatures and CG and set builds and everything. And when you added up all those numbers, it occurred to us that it might actually be cheaper to buy a real plane. originally, we had our eye on like a 737, something like that.
Yes.
And we went out to the the airplane graveyard, or where we could buy an old 737. And while we were looking at the 737s, I started looking across the field. You could see these MD-11s and 747s. And I sort of thought, you know, and I said to the line producer, well, hang on a second, why can't we get one of those big ones? Let's if we're going to do it. I actually had the unique experience of impulse buying a 747 and then getting to crash it.
Before I let you go, what is your remote drop movie, Christopher, wherever you're watching television and you see a film is a favorite of yours, or you just don't mind binging it, even if it's not yours, obviously? Which one is it? Just a fan film?
I haven't heard the remote drop as a phrase. That's a fantastic one.
There you go.
Yeah, I love it. And there are so many. I mean, I think by Kubrick, you know, it's a remote drop. But some of the great comedies, too. And I mean, Talladega Nights, I'm never going to be able to switch that off.
Okay, now then. Really?
What?
The Ballad of Ricky Bobby is a Christopher Nolan mic drop movie. Is that what you're saying?
If you ain't first, you're last.
You're not wrong, Christopher. You're not wrong. You know, I'm just that's fantastic. That does Will Ferrell know this? Did you just reveal that?
He does now.
Well, we keep on getting more information about that movie. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, the Game Time app. Download it right now. Put it on any mobile device and start buying tickets, basketball tickets. Certainly, if you are in the sound of my voice in the city of New York or perhaps in Denver, Colorado, you want to go to tonight's games, you want to be part of that mix, go to Game Time, check out the tickets, and wait even. Hold, as you might say, because prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to the tip-off. You've done that before, have you not?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And you could get views from your seat, last-minute tickets, flash deals, zone deals. The all-in pricing is my favorite feature because you hit the button to buy your tickets. You get to know exactly how much it is before you hit that button. Take the guesswork out of buying basketball tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code RICH, and you get $20 off your first purchase. Restrictions apply. Visit GameTime.co for terms. Again, create an account, redeem the code RICH, you get $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. You told me when we left the studio yesterday, Luka Doncic is going to have a triple-double. I'd be like, okay, 3-1.
No doubt.
But then you told me, the Mavericks would shoot 12 of 23 from the free throw line. Like, okay. And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander would do his thing, SGA. And sure enough, comes down to a one-possession game, and the Thunder do their part, making their shots and their free throws down the stretch, and the Mavericks do not. Luka missed one of two when he was at the line to try and tie the game with about a minute to go. Didn't. That put the Mavs, started spinning their wheels. He even, like, hit his head on, you know, sitting on the bench during a timeout. Like, what'd you, like, dummy? Like, what? The international symbol of, like, you dumb, you know what?
Yeah.
You big dummy.
Well, I mean, it wasn't like full Boogie Nights, but he definitely thought he was an idiot for doing it.
Yeah.
And then PJ Washington goes to the line, and it's a 3-point game. He misses the first, and I'm sitting there watching the game because we're a streaming household on my phone through the Roku portal and the Max app. Okay. And so I'm sitting there as Taylor's getting ready to hit the sack. She's playing her. I think I told you the other day that she Euro-stepped in her Goldie Rec League game the other day.
Watching Luka.
Very proud. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, well, I mean, and she turns to me after PJ Washington misses his first. She goes, well, he's got to miss the second now, get the rebound, and throw it out for a three. And then PJ Washington makes the second. And my 10-year-old's like, what do you do that for, Dad? And I'm like, great. Let's ask Jason Kidd if we have the opportunity. Yeah. So, you know, are you smarter than a 10-year-old? And again, just counsel again, everybody, you know, oh, the Mavericks have this one in the bag. Now, the Celtics do have the Cavs in the bag.
Man, I sure hope so.
Donovan Mitchell adds to the mix of being out, and I know it was a tight game. You know, the Celtics, there was that crucial, what, 3-4 minute period in the fourth quarter. I even tweeted this
out.
They
didn't score.
The Cavs couldn't make and the Celtics couldn't miss. And that was the end of that. Everybody in a green uniform was making, and everybody in a white uniform was missing for like a 3-minute period.
But there was also a 4-minute stretch with no field goals until, you know, Jaylen Brown took over at the end.
Which is what happens. I get it. But the Cavs they were just hoisting up from three when they didn't have to. I mean, Mobley was on.
Well, Max Strus started the game 5 for 5. Like, they couldn't miss start the game.
It's just, these are the moments in playoff basketball. If Eric Mobley has Derek White on him, find Eric Mobley. They didn't. They hoisted from, I think it was Wade hoisted from three. He missed.
Dean Wade. D-Wade.
It's not that D-Wade. But speaking of D-Wade, the whole conversation today is, what was LeBron doing at the game? Now, listen, I know everybody likes to use, you're doing full Windhorst here.
Windhorst said today that an NBA GM sent him his own meme referring to what was he doing at the game last night.
How about this? His mom lives there, correct?
Yes.
What was Sunday?
Mother's Day.
Okay.
Well, yesterday was Monday.
Right. So he's staying over.
And he has to go to the game?
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't he? What's the big deal? Why can't a guy just go to a game, sit courtside, have a bottle of Opus One, which, by the way, he did?
Because this guy doesn't just do things. It's all calculated.
Which is what? Hey, everybody. I want to go back to Cleveland
because they're a better team than the Lakers are right now.
Let me ask you this question.
We've seen this movie already.
Fine. Great. Let's just say he wants to go back to the Cavs. And maybe he wants to play with Bronny with the Cavs. And finish up where it all started with his son. You get goosebumps even talking about it. Okay? If he wants to do that, he could just do it.
He doesn't need to make a power play.
It's not a power play. What's the calculation, Mike? It's no power play. There's no power play. It's not like the Lakers have to let him do it. He's got a player option. He just opts out, which everybody thinks he's going to do anyway. And so
he gets a lot of crap. So if he does that, I'm with Chris. He looks like he's doing it.
You're not listening. You're not listening.
I know.
There's no calculation. The calculation is Rich Paul,
and he can
who calls the Lakers and says he opts out. And then he does whatever he wants to do.
True.
This has no power play move to it.
Also, apparently, Rich Paul called the Lakers, let them know he was going to be at the game. So it wasn't like he just showed up.
He just wants to go to the game. Maybe he likes Tatum. Maybe he likes the Cavs and he just goes to the game. He's in town. They're there. He's there for Mother's Day. What's
the
big deal?
With that is half the people are going to think like that and the other half are going to think, oh, there's some underlying ulterior motive.
Yeah. But what's the ulterior motive? If he wants to go to Cleveland, you know what he could do? Go to Cleveland. Remember we had Maverick Carter here in this chair and I'm like, you know, he's going to come to L.A. because he wants to do business in L.A., right? And he basically is like, Rich, he's LeBron James. He can have a meeting wherever he wants to go.
Facts.
It's true.
So if he wants to play for the Cavs, he can play for the Cavs. If he wants to have a bottle of Opus One, clearly he can do that. By the way, do they sell that in Cleveland? Because that's impressive.
Gotta bring it in.
Or did he bring his own?
I know nothing Corkage about
free. Is there a Corkage free in the playoffs?
Corkage.
I mean, bottle. I know nothing
BYO
about
bottle.
Wine.
Yeah,
that's $400+ bottle.
Do the Cavs have a sommelier?
No.
Well, they will when LeBron plays for them.
Maybe so. Great. Because you know what the Cavs will do for LeBron to come home and play with Bronny and say, come on and play.
Please.
And all it might cost them is just money, right? Because they don't have to acquire him. It just costs money. So, hey, you think Spider would stick around for that and dance that drink over?
He gone.
Would he? Why wouldn't he want to play with LeBron?
Why would he?
Because LeBron passes.
That's a fact. I mean, you can't argue that fact.
Because it's his team, and any team that LeBron goes to becomes LeBron's team.
Unless it doesn't matter, you know, whose team it is when you're in a parade.
Let me tell you something. I know this ain't my team, but when we win the Emmy, I'm going to love it just as much. And I'm not. This
is your team.
It's not my team.
Yes, it is your team. Yes. It's your team. It's our team. It's our team.
I'm a member of the team.
It's our team. You know, everybody who's on this show is our team. And that includes his schmecky friend whose half face was on that Instagram photograph with his vinyl.
Well, no, make fun of Sean. I don't think Sean's on your team.
Sean does it, but come on. He's getting changed.
I'm making fun of Sean. Actually, I'm not making fun of Sean. I'm making fun of you getting all these likes for photographs that don't deserve it.
That photo's like 800.
It's absurd. Cheers coming up, folks.
Welcome to Talkville, the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast. Guest star Sarah Carter as Alicia Baker. Although I didn't really work with her a lot. But Tom did, and they had some real big smoochy scenes.
Yeah. Should we talk about that?
Could there be any more sex? What was a three-page makeout scene that just kept going? Good Lord. We get it. They have chemistry.
Jump in now or catch up on any of the past seasons of Talkville on YouTube or wherever you listen.